Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Cara DeFalco.
Our next guest is back for his third visit here on the show. He is a humorist with an extremely unique take on the world. In addition to performing, he has written for Jay Leno, Joan Rivers, many others. His new show, Driving Hollywood, is about to take on the world. It is great to say hello once again to Dylan Brody. Dylan, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Ed Kalenge and Cara DeFalco. I call you Ed Kalenge and Cara DeFalco?
You can.
Yes, please
can.
Do.
And you know, that's good. If you call us that both together collectively at the same time, you don't know who the hell is going to answer the question. So it creates a much more interesting radio program. So we invite you to do just that. So there you go.
I strive to create, if nothing else, interesting radio.
See, that's you take us to parts of our brains and our thought process that we don't normally go. You, my friend, are drilling down into gray matter that has been, it's virgin territory.
Unaccessed.
Yes, unaccessed. All right, Driving Hollywood, tell us all about it.
Well, the show is a beautiful new special framed within a long drive from my home in Sylmar into Hollywood, where I have a meeting that I feel is going to be important and life-changing. And on the way, I am remembering every disappointment I have ever had with a Hollywood meeting. The meeting occurs, and then I drive home living with every disappointment I've ever had at a Hollywood meeting and ultimately realize where the hope and the joy live in the work of an artist and the sheer excitement and enthusiasm of doing the work beyond any question of what may or may not happen at any given meeting.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
Wow, and you know, as a fellow performer, I mean, that is so true. You live and you die on every audition. I know that. I'm a reformed actor. You start doubting and you start wondering, should you be doing this? And when you really have to do is just sit down and enjoy and immerse yourself in what you're doing. You're saving
and
all of us.
We forget that. We forget it entirely. And in Los Angeles, there's an added humiliation involved because we walk into little rooms or audition studios and we reach into the gaping wounds of our wit and cast forth whatever gleaming gems we can pull forth.
Wow.
And then we wait for approval, and we pretend to have absolute confidence, and we're either told no or told to go wait for an answer, and then we walk out into an outer room where we have to voice the subtext we've been avoiding recognizing the whole time and say to some assistant or some receptionist, will you validate me, please? I need validation.
Stamp my ticket, please. Make me feel like a real person and save me the $5 for parking, damn it. Wow. My
exactly
goodness.
Right.
You've taken the plight of every performer I've ever known, and you've been able to very simply construct it into this lovely box of truism and reality. My, you know what? I feel like we have Dr. Phil on the program right now. And not our friend Dylan Brody.
This was a much deeper conversation than I anticipated having.
I know. Hey, we're having a comedian on. And then Kara's like, oh my goodness. You know, this is why we love having you on. You peel away the layers of the onion and you have us all crying before it's finished. It's terrific.
It is my goal to both to elevate and expand the humor scape.
Wow.
To include stand-up tragedy.
Yes, stand-up tragedy. Now, you know, part of the special, you bring us through this absurdist childhood. You take us back. It's kind of like this giant throwback Thursday thing almost. Where did you grow up? Schuylerville? Where was that?
I grew up in Schuylerville, New York. It's way upstate New York.
Yeah.
I'll give you a sense of what kind of town this is. We moved there when I was four, and we drove all night long in this huge pink Plymouth, vehicle from which in time of emergency other vehicles could be launched. And I was four, but my reading skills were already good enough that as we pulled in, dawn was breaking on the horizon, so there was enough light, and I could read the sign that said, welcome to Schuylerville, population 954.
Wow.
And because we had moved in, that afternoon, the old white-haired mayor in a Norman Rockwell gesture of welcoming,
yes,
drove out to the sign with a bucket of paint and amended it to say, "And some Jews."
Wow. And here are the directions to Temple Beth Shalom. My goodness. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I grew up in that town. My dad taught nearby at Skidmore College,
yeah,
in Saratoga Springs. So I spent as much time as I could on that college campus absorbing what was going on there,
mm-hmm,
because life in the small town was very difficult for me.
You know, here's the most important question. If I was to take a ride right now up to Schuylerville, and if I was to locate that sign, would it still say, "Welcome to Schuylerville, population 954 and some Jews"? Is it still that way now? Does it give it that whole homey feeling? Does it still read that to this day?
I think it's up to 1,200-something.
Ah.
And I'm sure they have become a little bit more discreet with their anti-Semitism,
mm-hmm,
right up until the recent election, at which point I'm sure they became re-emboldened.
The sign is being amended once again as we speak. My goodness.
That's right. We also allow some minorities.
Yes.
Yes. But only
some. Minorities. We allow the minorities.
Yeah. Hey, I haven't spoken to you since the election.
I figured you'd been avoiding me.
No, it's been busy. There's been a major change in personnel here on the show. We had to realign things, but then, oh my God, it's Dylan Brody. We have to have him on. But yeah, the election must have really, you must have loved that night. Hmm?
He's putting into position, Betsy DeVos just got in, a woman who said that we can't rule out guns in schools because there might be grizzly bears wandering the halls. If we have grizzly bears wandering the halls of our schools, we don't need guns.
Uh-oh.
We need doors with latches. Let's go to the 12th century gravity-driven technology on this. There are no bears wandering the halls,
see,
of our schools. If there were, it would be in the news.
See, now
they're
exactly.
They're all in hot tubs in Pasadena.
All in Pasadena. And now, see, this is the reaction I thought I was going to elicit when I asked the question. I knew this is exactly where we were going. I knew this is exactly how you felt, because you're quite the prolific social meteor, as if I may say so as well. So I could tell that you've been simmering all this time, and it's taken so long to get you back on the show, but I knew that's exactly where we were going. All right, we got time for...
Oh, man.
Yes, we have time for one more question. All right, Kara, go ahead.
Listen, let's get back to your new show.
Yes.
That we got going on.
Okay.
You know,
let's promote the thing I'm supposed to be on the phone.
There was that.
About.
There was that other thing that we were supposed to talk about.
Driving Hollywood.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
DeVos raises my ire. She better hope that her job assessment is based on growth, not proficiency.
My goodness. All right.
Listen, do you have quirks or special requests when you're on tour? When you like,
good point.
You hear things about like people like J-Lo or Beyonce, and they have to only have like green Skittles in their dressing room. Are you a pain when you do a live show?
I refuse to put riders on my contract.
Wow.
I had a manager who liked to play make-believe with my career for a while.
Uh-oh.
And I think it sabotaged me in some ways. And on one gig, I found out he had put on a rider that I have coffee and creamer in the green room, which is lovely. I like having coffee and creamer in the green room.
Who doesn't?
But the idea that this would be contractually required is just absurd. Particularly, I was working in a public theater where they're struggling to keep their funding,
sure,
going all the time. And suddenly they got to worry about getting a new coffee pot put in the green room because my manager wants me to look like a big shot.
And he's taking 20%, let's be honest. You know, that just kind of rubs you the wrong way anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just show up at a place. I need a clean suit that I bring with me.
Yeah.
And I go on stage. I prefer to have a straight mic stand, not a boom stand.
Wow.
I can work with a boom stand if I have to.
Wow.
I'm not going to put riders out of touch. I'm not into it for the ego stroking. I'm into it for the opportunity to tell interesting and funny stories, and if I possibly can, flip a few epigenetic triggers in people while I do it so that we can all rise to our greatest possible potential.
Very nice.
Bravo,
perfect.
Sir. Bravo.
Bravo. All right. Learn more about Dylan Brody's Driving Hollywood at dylanbrody.com. You can learn all things about Mr. Brody there as well. Dylan Brody, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Sorry.
I'm Dylan Brody. You're listening to America Weekend.
Wow. Oh, my God.
He's
look at
it.
This. You know what? You know, I tell you what. We're going to be launching a five-day show a little bit later on this year. You can be the VO guy. I love this. This will be terrific.
Oh, I would love that.
All right. Terrific. All right. Well, he'll be back again because he's that much fun. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America Weekend. America
with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water. But now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.